Praise the Lord. You guys doing all right?
All right.
How many of you agree with that statement on the PowerPoint screen? If you agree with that statement, shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's good. Wow. Now, I'm going to say this. All of you were correct by saying amen. Every single one of us, we are called by God to be a Lucifer. Singular, a Lucifer. Every single one of us, I repeat, we are all called by God to be a what?
Lucifer.
Lucifer. Exactly. Amen. Now, this thing is going to be so simple today. It's going to be so... I just want to talk to you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to preach. I'm just talking. I'm going to give you a study that God gave me to rebuke me. Because God showed me in my personal life that my sanctification was not complete. We're going to talk about being light bearers for Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to give you time. We're just talking. We're family. This experience has changed my life. Changed my life. This is so awesome. I love you guys. We're going to pray. I'm going to give you time to pray and ask for God to speak to you directly. Then we'll just get into our little talk and we're done. Father in heaven, speak through your word by way of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The thing I see a lot with revival, a lot of revivals, a lot of people get excited. And, you know, Army, what does Army promote?
Prayer.
Prayer and? Prayer and Bible study. Yeah, now that's good. That's good. We need that. Prayer and Bible study. But there's a component that is missing. That is not there. Exactly. Now, prayer and Bible study, that's good and that's fine. But if you leave here, there are a lot of Christians. There are many Seventh-day Adventists that go day by day and they tell no one about Jesus Christ. A lot of people do it all the time. We can read the Bible, we can pray, but day after day, many people go throughout and tell no one of Jesus. But we need to all be a Lucifer. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
I want to scare you. I want you to really listen today, all right? We need to be light bearers. The name Lucifer is derived from the Hebrew Hillel, which literally means the shining one or light bearer. It comes from the root halal, which means to flash forth light or to shine, to be brilliant. The name Hillel and its equivalent in related languages was commonly applied to the planet Venus. As a morning star, because of its unrivaled brilliance, Venus is the brightest of all planets and at maximum brilliance shines more than seven times brighter. Please let me know, what is the brightest star in our fixed solar system? Oh man, you guys are too good. Besides the sun, what is the brightest star? That's the planet. What's the brightest? Anyone know? I'll give you a hint. It's a satellite radio company named after this star. Sirius. Sirius. Venus is seven times brighter than Sirius, and Sirius is the brightest of the fixed stars. So when this word Lucifer, which was translated from the Latin Vulgate, when this word was used in the original, in the equivalent languages, they use it and it pertains to Venus as a bright, bright morning star. All right? And this is the character. By the way, how many times is the word Lucifer mentioned in the Bible? Give me a number. Three? One time. This word Lucifer is only mentioned one time, this light bearer. And God is calling every single one of us not to come here and learn to study the Bible, not to come here and learn to pray, but we have to share, we have to be light bearers every single day of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look at Lucifer. I don't know why it says, Lucifer was envious and jealous of Jesus Christ. He had been near the great Creator and ceaseless beams of glorious, what everybody? Enshrouding the eternal God had shone especially upon him. Were not his garments light and beautiful? Why should Christ thus be honored before himself? Lucifer said, hey, I'm beautiful. I have light shining all around me. Jesus is receiving worship. Why should I not receive worship? I have light as well. Here's the question. Did Lucifer produce his own light? No, of course not. He reflected light. I'll show you how it works. Illustration. I used to wear jewelry, but I don't wear it any longer. Only one person saying amen. That's all right. I said I used to wear jewelry, but I don't wear it any longer. Yeah. Hey, it's all right. And what I used to do, I used to wear my little gold bracelet, thinking I was really cool in high school. I had a gold bracelet. I loved it. It was my idol. And I had a shine cloth similar to this. And on one side, the shine cloth was for cleaning. And the other side, it was for buffing. So I'll take my little bracelet, my little idol, and I'll clean that thing. Clean it till it's clean. Turn it over, turn the shine cloth over, and then I will buff it. Good. I put that piece of idolatry on my wrist. And when the sunlight would hit that idol, light, ting, flashing everywhere. That idol, that gold, all it did was reflect the light of the sun. All Lucifer did in heaven was to reflect God's glory or light. Okay, you don't like that illustration. God wore jewelry? Man, I thought he was present truth. I'll show you another example. Let's go to Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel. I'm just talking to you today. I'm just talking to you. Because we need to be light bearers, folks. Light bearers. And I'll be finished by 10. That's why I'm talking so fast. Because I want us to all hear on Dwayne Lemon's presentation. Are you all there? Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And since we're talking about reflecting light, I want to show you what Lucifer was like in heaven. Now, we know this. All right. Ezekiel chapter 28. Go to verse 12. The Bible says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious, what everybody? Was thy what? Whoa, let's look at the stones. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast what? The Bible says this man, this being Lucifer, this light bearer, was absolutely glorious. Produced no light of his own, but the Bible that gives us his stones. Here we have the sardius, the topaz, the beryl, the diamond, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. What Ezekiel is doing, he is painting a picture so the Hebrew mind could understand what happened to Lucifer as he was in heaven. When he was there as the covering what? As the covering cherub, when God's glory, when God's light will flash, when God's light will be upon Lucifer, it would hit those stones. And when God's light hit the stones of Lucifer, ting, light everywhere. Got the stones, man. The young people would say, bling, bling. I don't know if they still use that. I don't know. I'm old now. They still do? I thought I was retired. But anyway, Lucifer, light everywhere. And Lucifer said, now, wait a minute. Man, I got some light. Jesus, he has light. I'm shining light. Why don't I receive worship? And then he became furious in heaven. I want to have worship. He became furious. And we know what happened. There's a war in heaven. And what happens to Lucifer? She says, Satan had been Lucifer, the light bearer. Now, listen to what she said. Listen to this. The what? God actually allowed this being to share his glory. The sharer of God's glory in heaven, and what? Second. He was second to Jesus in power and? Do you understand this? Do you understand how powerful this thing is? You have God the Father, Jesus Christ, here comes Lucifer. That close in power and majesty. But, listen to the conjunction. But Lucifer had perverted the beauty and power with which he was endowed by the Creator. Now listen. And his, what everybody? Light. Had become what? Darkness. His light had become darkness. He was corrupted. We know what happened. Pride came into his heart. And as a result, she says his light, which he once had, is now becomes darkness. We know what happens. Lucifer, you got to go. Lucifer was such a powerful preacher. He preached his last sermon, closed his book, made an appeal, and one third of perfect angels fell with him. That's how powerful he was. And he knows the power that God's glory or God's light has. And since Lucifer knows that and his light is gone, Lucifer wants to destroy the light in every single one of us. He knows the power of God's glory and he wants to destroy that thing. But by God's grace, we're going to hold on to Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to hold on for it. We're going to hold on to Jesus for dear life. Do not let him destroy your light. He's fallen. Gone. Angels now. They're on earth. Now they're demons. And now he's Satan and the devil. No longer Lucifer. No longer light bearer. Now he's in darkness. He falls. The world is then created. And then we have in the Garden of Eden, we have Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Now we learned from Dwayne Lemon. He took my text. Dwayne Lemon, that Adam and Eve, they were created in the image of. And we know that God is clothed with. Give me the text. Oh, excellent. Let's go to Psalm 104. Let's go there. Psalm 104. Excellent. Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 104, verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Lucifer was second. And majesty in heaven is powerful. Verse 2. "Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." So we see here again that God is clothed with light. Therefore, we know that Adam and Eve, they also were clothed with light. Now, Satan knows what it's like to be a light bearer and to have God's light. Do you think Satan, that fallen angel, who once had the light, reflected the light. Do you think when he looked on earth and he saw those two folk clothed with light, do you think he was happy? Do you know how powerful it is to be clothed with light? Everywhere you go, light everywhere. The sun can go down and you're never in darkness. Something's awesome here. There's like two walking flashlights everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's a powerful stuff here. Satan looked at that, Satan said, "Man, I got to destroy those folk. They got the light. I got to destroy them." Oh, glory. Adam and Eve. Eve was alone. She left the side of her husband, which she should not have done. She's tempted by the serpent. We know what happens next. She comes back. She tempts her husband. He eats. Do you think the light stayed? Ellen White says, "They," Adam and Eve, I inserted that, "both ate, and the great wisdom they obtained was the knowledge of," what, everybody? "And a sense of guilt, the covering of light about them soon disappeared. And under a sense of guilt and loss of their divine covering, a shivering seized them, and they tried to cover their exposed forms." Wow. That light. Sin is so destructive. Sin one time. They sinned once and God says, "You know what? I got to take away that light." Lucifer, you messed up in heaven. I got to take away the light. Now you're in darkness. Once. Question. Did Adam and Eve or did Satan, which one? Who destroyed the light of Adam and Eve? Was it Adam and Eve or was it Satan? Who destroyed the light? Adam and Eve. Because of sin, they destroy the light. The light is now gone. And what happens? When they sinned, the baton from Adam was passed to Satan. Now Satan has dominion of planet Earth. And when they lost that light, I could imagine Satan rejoicing. No longer they have the light. I lost my light. They lost their light. He's rejoicing. And now as a result, sin enters the world. And now the entire world is wrapped in darkness. Why? Our original parents, that light is gone. Perfection is gone. The world is wrapped in darkness and it's so bad. What's this? Rose. By the way, that's the middle name of my daughter. I love my daughter. I love my daughter, man. Now this is a rose. I'm going to show you how bad this thing has gotten. Because the world is now wrapped in darkness. And we have to be light bearers. Amen? Now, this is what Adam had in Eden. Before he lost his light, this is what Adam had. After the light is gone, he now has this outside of Eden. Now, the question is this. When Adam and Eve saw that, when this took place, the dead flower, the dead rose, when he saw this in nature, when Adam saw this, do you think Adam said, you know what, man, that's so sad. No big deal. How do you think they responded to this? Wept, but listen to the depth of the weeping. They didn't just not, well, too bad. No, Ellen White says. As Adam witnessed the first signs of decaying nature in the falling leaf and in the drooping flowers, he mourned more deeply than men now mourn over there. Whoo, have mercy. Do you see what she is saying here? I want to be sensitive. You ever had a loved one that passed away and it crushed you? Crushed you, right? It hurts, right? You love that person? You hug that person, right? You talk to that person? You see that person? But folk, a flower is an inanimate object. A flower is not stretching out its leaves to hug us. It can't speak to us. But when he saw that flower dead, he cried longer and harder for an inanimate object than we cry for a dead, lost loved one. Whoo! Yes! He also knew he caused it. Because that sin, that flowers are dying. And now we are in a world wrapped in darkness. Why do I think we have gang members in L.A. called the Crips? Kill one another. Shoot one another. Why? Because the world is wrapped in darkness and God needs light bearers. Why do you think we have Adolf Hitler? Why? Because the light is gone. From Adam and Eve, that light is gone. The world is wrapped in darkness. God needs light bearers. That's why we have folk dying of AIDS. Because the world is wrapped in darkness and God wants light bearers. Not folk that just study the word all the time, pray all the time, and do no witnessing. He needs light bearers. The world is dying, folks. The world is dying, wrapped in darkness. That's why you can have someone win a Pulitzer Prize. You remember this? Anyone remember this? Remember this? 1994? Kevin Carter, he took this picture in Africa. He wins a prize for having a picture of a child that is starving to death and the vulture is waiting to eat his flesh, and America applauds. You get a prize for that picture. It's glorious. The child is about to be eaten by a vulture. It's sick. He gets a prize because the world is wrapped in darkness. We applaud. You know what Kevin Carter did? Killed himself. Committed suicide. Less than a year later. You know why? Because he didn't run. He didn't try to deliver the child. He left. He ran away from that picture. God is saying, man, come on, wake up. The world here is wrapped in darkness. I need light bearers. I don't need folk that study the Bible all day. I don't need folk that's good and fine, that just pray and pray and pray. I need folk to go on the front lines. The world is sick here. We're going to leave this camp meeting changed. I'm telling you, we're going to leave this camp meeting changed. Oh, praise God is right, brother. That's why God says, hey, I need folk to go carry the light. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I need light bearers. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. We know this text is cradle roll, but I want to read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Are you there? Amen. The Bible says, listen to Jesus now. He says, you army. Army are the light of the what? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus says the reason for your light to shine and for your good works is not for self-exaltation. It is so that God gets all of the glory. He gets all of the glory. We get no glory. He gets it all. Now, question. Who destroyed the light of Adam and Eve? Could it be possible that we destroy the light that God has given us? You know how we destroy the light? Because Satan can't destroy the light that God has given us. Jesus is the light of the world. He has no power over Jesus. But you know, we are the ones that destroy the light. How? You know how we destroy the light? Jesus says, you are the light of the what? This is what many Adventists do. They go to a lot of conferences like this. I got Jesus. I got my Jesus. Man, I got Jesus here. Jesus, you are all mine. You are all mine. I'm not going to witness to my neighbor. My next door neighbor, they don't even know I'm a Christian. You're all mine, Jesus. I won't witness. I won't pass out a track. But I'll pray and I'll study your word. You're all mine, Jesus. And we put Jesus in a headlock. We destroy our own light by holding Christ hostage. And all Jesus is saying is, hey, liberate me, let me go. The world is wrapped in darkness. Are you serious, man? Let's not hold Christ hostage, folk. Amen?
Amen.
I'm smiling. This thing is so serious. Let's not hold Christ hostage. And let me tell you something. The world is not the only place that needs the light either. The world is not the only place. We are sick folk in the church. You know what the Bible calls them? Wheat and sheep and the
goats.
Ellen White says, because we don't need to go out to the world. We need some folk to be lit up in the church. Ellen White says, we're the one, everybody, of the church. Consecrated to God, were they, now listen to what she says. Were they in the what? Of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, were they organized for the purpose of imparting to others an influence of good, the church would be indeed the light of the
world.
There's some folk in church who aren't consecrated. Now listen, I'm going to come on. Now you need to listen to what she says. And she says, what's this word, everybody? What's this word? Let me tell you a story. Folk who aren't consecrated in the church. I have a twin brother. Twin brother. Identical. Amen. My brother, he went to school at Southern. At Southern University in Tennessee. In the South. In 2003. This is not during the time of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and the Black Panthers. This is in 2003. My brother was invited to preach to it at a church. He was invited to preach at a church in Tennessee, primarily Caucasian church. He was invited to preach. They asked him to preach Sabbath morning. He gets dressed nice, looking good. He has his word of God, going to the church of God to preach God's word. Pulls up, gets to the door, opens the door, walks inside the church, about to preach the gospel of Jesus, Adventist church. Yeah, my people. Gets in the church, elder comes. Says, you know what? I'm sorry, but the board voted. The board represents the church. I'm sorry to let you know, but the board voted and we can't allow you to preach here. My brother looked at that guy in his face and he said, why? Because I'm black? He said, yes. You're going to tell me in 2003 you can't preach at our church because of the color of your skin? That's not racism, that's demonism. Christ has nothing to do with that. That's why I'm so thankful when we go to heaven, there is no segregation.
Yeah.
There's no segregation. The blacks over here, the whites over here. No, it'll be one Lord, one faith, and one race.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of the race? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us? You can't preach in 2003 at God's remnant church? And she says, because we're not unified, the folk in the church are not unified. We're called to be light bearer folk. Last point and I'm done. It won't take long. Because we do not understand how deep being a light bearer goes. Man, I came to the army? Yeah. Study the Bible all day, give Bible witness. Tell the baby, Bible all day, give Bible studies, that's fine. Oh yeah, I'll pray for 10 hours in my room. That's good, it's biblical. We need to do that. But let me tell you something. Satan understands this. If he can get you to hold Christ in a headlock, don't share Christ, keep him bound and hostage, Satan understands.
That if you do that, if I do that, your sanctification is not complete. You ready to see it? Listen to me very, very carefully. How often should we study the Bible? How often should we pray? How often should we tell people about Jesus? Why don't we then? I guarantee you that most of us here, this brand new year, I guarantee you at least one day passed and you didn't tell somebody about Jesus. But we can, man, the Bible, yeah, every day, yes. Prayer, yes, 10 hours, but the golden candlestick, why is it by itself? Here we have the sanctuary model. By the way, what's God's will for our lives? Let's find it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians. Everybody turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Let's go. Got 15 minutes. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 defines it. The Bible says in verse 3, "For this is the," what, everybody? "Will of God, even your," what? "That ye may abstain from fornication." The Bible says the will of God for your life is your sanctification. Now, let's look at the sanctuary. Here we have the courtyard. Isn't that right? The holy place and the what? Now, this represents, when you accept Jesus Christ, what do we call that? What, justification, right? You accept the sacrifice of Christ. You're justified just as if you never sinned. You're justified. And then we take the next step into what? We get baptized. But the holy place experience, we call this what?
Sanctification.
Now, after that, the next experience, the most holy place experience, we call that?
Glorification.
After glorification, what's the next compartment? Exactly. There's nothing left. Why? Because there is nothing better than being with Jesus. You don't need anything left. Glorification is when you get to heaven. But unfortunately, some folk think they can be justified, accept Jesus Christ, and they can skip altogether the holy place experience and think they're going to go to heaven. You can't skip steps. You can't do that. Listen very carefully. Don't miss this thing. Because we are not doing what's in the holy place. What do? Table of showbread. We know this. The table of showbread, the priest walks in, it's on the right side. Right before him is the altar of incense. You know what we do? This is what we do. Take the Bible. We study it. We go to the table of showbread on a daily basis. You know why we do that every day? When we study the Bible, no one is rejecting us. There's no rejection. I'm reading the Bible. I'm studying the Bible. Loving Army Bible Camp. No one's yelling at me. No one's cursing me out. This is absolutely easy. We can do that every day. The altar of incense, the prayer life with God's righteousness. That's easy. I get on my knees. I pray to God. No one's yelling at me. No one's slamming a door in my face. But on the left, the candlestick is there, you know. Man, I know I got to go there every day. But Lord, you know, man, Lord, if I go to the candlestick, if I'm called to be a witness, man, I might get cursed out. Somebody might slam a door in my face. Man, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I can't do it. I might get cursed out good. Get cursed out. Get cursed out by someone who knows how to curse. You know why? Because a good cursing out will refine your character. And that's the only thing you're taking to heaven anyway. Amen. What's wrong? If you can't handle being cursed out in 2011, what in the world are you going to do in the time of trouble? Are you kidding me? But what do? We settle. You know what? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I accept the sacrifice, Lord, the holy place. I accept the word of God. I accept prayer. We'll do this on a daily basis. We would take 2 out of 3. Not complete. The bar exam in California, I believe, it's a 3-day test. 3-day test, the bar exam. Let's say, for example, I'm going to take this test. I take the test on Monday. I take the test on Tuesday. I don't go back on Wednesday because I'm all right. Will I pass the bar or will I fail? If you do only 2 out of 3, if I do only 2 out of 3, my sanctification is not complete. Out of balance.
Not complete. Man, what's wrong with us? Why do we let the Jehovah's Witnesses have all the fun? I mean, man, we're running in church here. You know we have it. We let them have all the fun. But this is really serious. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what's going to happen after this revival, what do you call it? You know what's going to happen? There'll be some people here. Fire for Jesus. Good. Fire for Jesus. Read the Bible and pray. Remember when I talked about idols, how idols will kill the revival? You know what else kills the revival? Having only 2 out of 3. The revival is dead. Why? Because your sanctification is not complete. And God is saying, man, wake up. Don't have 2 out of 3. I want you to have 100% because I want you with me in the most holy place. I want you to be glorified. I want you to have new bodies. Every single one of us, man, we're ugly. I know you won't say amen, but you're ugly, man. You're ugly. I know I don't look good. I got acne scars, but when I come up, I'm going to be so fine and so cute, can't even recognize myself. Oh, yeah. Better believe it. Ugly. But God wants us to be glorified, folks. And it's all about the love of Jesus. We don't witness because, oh, man, Pastor Alvin said, we got to witness. My sanctification is not complete. I might not make it to heaven. I'm so scared. No, we witness because we're so in love with Jesus. This thing is all about Jesus. We want the world to be unwrapped from this darkness. Man, we love Christ. That's why we witness, and we have to do it every single day. But why? Because we have a message. Now, powerful this message is. Message is so powerful. The three angels circling that globe. It's so powerful. God did not call Elijah and Enoch down here to preach it. He didn't call Isaiah and Jeremiah to preach it. He didn't call Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, or Malachi to preach it. He called us. They called any of them. They're not living. We are the ones living in the last days of earth history. So why are we just content with only 2 out of 3? We know the message we have. Now we know what we have. Let's get practical. I like being practical. No, some people are shy. I understand. Some people are shy. Now, just get a glow track, huh? Just get a glow track. I'm wondering today. I wonder, is this word glow, is this an acronym? Yeah. Oh, I wonder what it stands for. You want to know what it stands for, JR? I wonder what it stands for. The G stands for giving. I wonder what the L stands for. Right. 2 hour. In other words, the three angels. Man, come on, folks. Man, Jesus is on the way, and he wants your sanctification to be complete. Because the only thing Jesus cares about are people. When the trumpet, the Michael blows that trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise, says the dead in Christ. The cars are not coming up. The houses are not coming up. People. Those who fell in love with Jesus, people. Those who are witness to, people. Those who were born again, people. Only thing God cares about are people. That's it. And that's the candlestick experience. People. What are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do? Are we going to leave here and just not share? I guarantee you there are going to be some folk that do that. I hope I'm wrong. The thing with us, we talk so much. Man, we just talk so much, man, the loud cry of the three angels, that the three angels message, oh, that latter rain, oh, yes, the early rain experience, oh, man, so what? What are you telling? I don't care how good you can preach. I don't care about your Bible study. I care about us telling folk about Christ. Amen. What's the point in having all this information if we don't share it? Man, come on. You know what I mean? What's the point? I'm done. I'm going to close with my testimony. I want to be crystal clear, though. I want to be crystal clear. Here it is. If you go every single day, say you go 7 days a week, those 7 days you read the Bible and you pray. Those 7 days you miss 1 day without sanctification is not complete. Because we just think, man, I could miss a day. We don't say that with the Bible. We never, oh, I can't miss a day of Bible study. We don't say that. I can't miss a day of prayer I need. We don't say that. We say it about a golden candlestick, though. We can miss that. No big deal. You know why? We talk too much. If you say the message we have, we don't really believe it. If you really believe something, you tell somebody about it. If you really believed that this building was on fire, you wouldn't sit there. You'll shout, get out of here! Am I lying? Why are we not shouting that to the world? Come out of her. In other words, get out of here. Grew up Seventh-day Adventist. My brother and myself. Grew up Seventh-day Adventist. Nominal Christian. Could care less about Jesus. One day, my brother and I, we used to work at Target. We were twins. We worked at Target. Same job together. Amen? It's cool. And as there, I was working at Target. I used to work in the stock room. And I was working in the stock room, and I wasn't that good of a worker. So I got written up twice. And the third strike, you're out. So I said, so I was smart, Sister Shorter. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit before I get fired. This is what I said. I'm going to quit before I get fired. I quit Target, left. My brother's there in Target. He's working one day. And you know how in those department stores, they have tables set up like promotions? And this one girl, she was promoting Pantene shampoo. And that day, someone got caught stealing in Target. They were arrested. My brother went outside Target to see what happened. He came back in, and the girl called him over. Said, hey, come here. What happened? He told me that he thought this girl was interested in him. He told me. Comes over. He said, yeah, start to talk. Get in a conversation. She says to my brother, so when will you turn 21? My brother said, I'll turn 21 soon, this year. She said, what are you going to do? Are you going to be drinking alcohol or in a nightclub or whatever, partying? He said, no, I'm going to be in church. We weren't even converted then. I'll be in church. You know what she said to him? She said, what, you're a Christian? We have a Bible study every Friday night. Girl's a Catholic, I believe. We have a Bible study every Friday night at our dorm room, and I want you to come. That was Friday. She was letting her light shine, a Catholic. Yeah, we were at dorm room. Man, come. That Friday night, my brother got home. He was excited. He said, man, this girl invited me to a Bible study. I'm going to come. I'm so excited. He took a shower, and he left, and I stayed home. I felt bad. He didn't even invite me to go. I'm serious. I really felt bad because he was so excited. He takes off. He goes, and he comes back home that night. Totally, I never saw him like that in my life. He said, man, you got to come to this Bible study. You got to come. They served me food. They treated me like a king. He said, you got to come. I said, okay. He said, they have Bible studies every single Sunday. Every Sunday at 8 o'clock, they have Bible study. I said, okay, we'll go. Sunday comes around, we go to the Bible study. Went to that Bible study. Not one Adventist. About 15 or so students in the dorm room. And I saw the way those young people were in love with Jesus. I never saw that in my church. Young people at my church, dead as a doornail, Adventist. And we have the message. This Catholic man, these young people, they were serious. That's why I don't condemn people. They were so sincere. So excited about Jesus. I looked at that, and I said in my mind, I want what they have. I never forgot, we left a Bible study one night. And I was driving home, and I was playing satanic music called by Jay-Z. I was playing this satanic, demonic song called It's a Hard Knock's Life. After the Bible study, my brother said, man, how are you playing that? And we just had a Bible study. Wasn't even converted yet. Said, you're right. Turned it off. Sunday after Sunday, going to this Bible study. One Sunday comes. The pastor is always on time. This Sunday, he does not show up. He's not there. Not on time. One of the girls that were in the dorm room says, hey, if Pastor Mike is not here in 10 minutes, we're going to go to a party. I spoke up quick. I said, a party? I'm not dressed right. Still in my carnal mind. Man, I'm not dressed right. Go to a party, you got to look good, man. I do. You look good, you put on that cheap cologne. I wasn't dressed right. But I said, oh, man, I can't go. But they said, hey, Alvin, it's a party for missionaries going back home. I think it was Cuba or Puerto Rico. I can't remember. So she said, there's a party for missionaries. So I can do that. You don't got to dress up for that. Well, I said, okay, we'll do it. I said, okay, we'll do it. He doesn't show up in 10 minutes. We get into our car, and this is West Palm Beach, Florida. We cross the bridge to the island of Palm Beach. We get to the island of Palm Beach, about 15 of us. I never forgot. I knocked the door. This lady opens the door. She's excited. She said, come in. So nice. And in that that house was about 20 people. They were having a little prayer meeting, a testimony time. And About 30 minutes passed or so, and one of my friends who came, he got up from the floor. He was sitting down. He got up. He says, hey, I have to go. Somebody that was there present, a man I didn't know, he says, hey, before anyone leaves, let's have a word of prayer. Altar of incense experience. Let's pray. I thought nothing of it. Pray all the time. Got into the circle, large circle, praying for over 30 minutes. That was united prayer. They didn't know it. Praying. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit arrested my attention and said, I'm not lying. As clear as a bell, as clear as I'm talking to you, said, Alvin, pray. Those two words, Alvin, pray. No, I'm too scared. I was holding my brother's hand. I said, Kevin, pray. I'm scared. That's just what I said. I said, Kevin, pray, man. No, I'm not praying. The Holy Ghost came back the second time. Now, second time comes, you can't reject it. You might not get a third. Came back the second time. Alvin, pray. Said, okay. After someone prayed, I opened my mouth. As soon as I opened my mouth, the tears started pouring. Crying. I fell on my knees, crying, accepting the Lord Jesus in my heart, asking for the Holy Ghost, just breaking down. I was so broken. And my brother and I, after I prayed, we hugged each other. We were holding each other, crying on one another's shoulders for a long time. Crying, this man anointed our heads and our hands and our feet with oil. We're just crying. That was December 6, 1998, on a Sunday, wearing a white shirt, black shorts, leather brown sandals. You will never forget a detail of your conversion, because when God snatches the heart, produces change, you will never, ever forget it. My life totally changed. As soon as I was converted, guess what I was? I became Lucifer. I became a light bearer. My brother and I, we used to go to the mall in West Palm Beach. We used to carry, my Bible used to say Holy Bible here. We used to go walk like this in the mall. I'm not even lying. I kid you not. We used to walk like this so people can see how holy we were. We didn't know better. But we were so on fire for Christ, so on fire. We're just witnessing, had prayer lists and everything. Why? Because we decided, still, even today, to stay at the golden candlestick on the left side. And I'll be honest with you, I know I don't witness as I should. That's why I'm preaching this. Because I need help. Now I'm going to close with a word of prayer, because Pastor Lemon is next. It's 10 o'clock and we will end on time. But I want to say this. Please take this message very seriously. I mean, we laugh, and there's nothing wrong with laughing. I like laughing. But really take it seriously, folks. Take it seriously. Because if your sanctification is not complete, come on. God wants us to have 100% sanctification, amen? Amen? Sanctification to make us holy. Set us apart for a holy use. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for this Bible study, and all of us. We're all called to be Lucifers. We're all called to be light bearers. Amen. We're all of us, and we have to do this on a daily basis. Lord, give us courage. Some of us, we don't like knocking doors, whatever, passing out traffic, just whatever. But we must let your light shine. The world is wrapped in darkness. We have the table of showbread at Army. We have the altar of incense, and we have that's all good. Now we need to go down the valley and light the golden candlestick. That's what needs to be done. And Lord, I'm converted because that one girl, she was a light bearer to my brother. Amen. And if that did not happen, if she did not let her light shine, I might not be here today. Thank you so much for that experience, that I'm born again and loving Jesus. I pray a blessing on everyone here in Army. I love them dearly. And if we do not meet again, let us meet around the sea of glass in the everlasting kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Let every light bearer say, amen.